We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, we're going to help you get through this, man. Dog fans, we are so sorry up here in the Kia Studios. It just shouldn't have gone down that way. It didn't need to go down that way, but it did. Another heartbreaking loss. I cannot believe that we are here in the Kia Studios twice in 11 months dealing with two of the worst football defeats in American history. That's where we're at, Rick and John, and the aftermath, of course, of a sensational victory by Alabama and an excruciating loss by Georgia. We're going to break it all the way down, man, and I want to start with an initial take. The play calling after Mecole Hardman scored the 80-yard touchdown was dreadfully conservative. It was play not to lose. And while Nick Saban and Tua Tagovailoa were swashbuckling, the Dogs were run, punt. So we're going to flesh that out. I've got stats to prove how overly conservative it was. But I am feeling for my main man, John Michaels. He is trying to kick this stomach flu, but the stomach flu is kicking your butt. But you do have a treat for Atlanta.
I do. I'm going to, you know, I know there's a lot of Georgia fans out there that are sad this morning. We feel your pain. I sent out a tweet last night. I truly feel awful for the real Georgia fans out there. The Mark Owens, the Randy Max, the DJ Shockleys, the Grant McCauleys, the Oren Remains, the Brian Gebharts, guys that we're friends with and we work with. I know what you guys are going through. We all collectively went through it back in February, and it sucks. I feel horrible for these guys. I do have a Falcons victory song in around 10:30 or so, hopefully to lift the spirits a little bit. I thought it was one of my better efforts. I actually got it done in one take. Like, one take after the morning I've been through to get that done is nothing short of amazing.
I told Charity last night, and she stayed up late watching the game with me. I'm mad right now, and I'm sad and all that because I don't have a G tramp stamp. I don't have a metallic G on the back of my Kia Sorento. I don't claim this team. But we're super invested in this team, John. We talk about them every day. Wanted them badly to win last night. And I'm like, to Charity, I mean, it's just like, it's so frustrating and annoying that this state just can't catch a break. Just one little break. They can't. The football gods just refuse to let it happen. So then I come to work this morning and I talk to Mark Owens. And I give him a nice little handshake, and I'm like, sorry, bro. And Mark Owens hit me with some serious optimism, and that's why we call him Mr. Glass Half Full. The fans need to hear you right now, M.O., because they're in their trucks, they're stuck in traffic, they're driving boxes around town, and they're salty and ticked off. Come to their aid.
You know, there's a fine line of what my heart versus what my head wants to say right now. Of course, the adult in me gets on social media and says, slow clap, Alabama. Hell of a game. Nice job. You won the national championship. You outplayed us. Saban will go down as one of the greatest, if not the greatest, college football coach in history. But then there's what my heart says. And if I could say what I really want to say, stupid freaking football. By God, I hate those freaking elephants. Stupid Tua Tunga would bite me. Stupid ducking refs. Stupid ducking curse. Stupid ducking Saban. It's so painful today. So much hype. So much buildup. We were so ready. This was it, Dog Nation. We had this. 30 minutes away. 30 minutes away. We were going to be the ones with a true freshman to win the game. We were going to be the ones that took it all the way to the end in our hometown. But stupid freaking Alabama, it just hurts my soul. But with that, things are looking good for the University of Georgia. There's plenty of great rivalries down the line with us. I think you're going to see Georgia and Alabama battle it out for years and years to come. But before I get there, just one more time, stupid football! I paced more And I put it out there last night. I tried. I couldn't get the ticket that I wanted. And maybe it's for the best because I couldn't sit still through the entire game. I put a hole in the carpet around the house. I could not sit down. At one point, my wife, she went to the back bedroom and sat in the dark and said, just let me know what happens. I can't watch TV. I can't look at my phone. Just let me know what happens. I'm doing circles in the house. God, I hate football, but I can't wait for it to come back. And I'm so damn proud of those Georgia Bulldogs. Seacrest out.
There you go, Mark.
Bravo.
We're here for you today. I would give you an actual hug, but I puked on myself this morning, and I'm not sure that all the remnants of that are even off of me. I literally had to go change clothes on the way to work. I had to stop at Target, and that's why I have these.
Shut up. Are you serious?
Oh, you think I'm kidding?
You had to go to Target and buy new clothes.
Yeah.
Because you puked all over your other clothes.
Yeah.
They told me you had a puke episode in your truck, in your car. I did not know that you had to go to Target to get new clothes.
You think I have these tight bottom jogging
pants? He's got some joggers on now.
You know why? Because they
look so millennial.
They don't sell actual sweatpants anymore with like the regular bottom leg. So yeah, I feel like crap. Anybody that's got that stomach flu, stay home. Sean actually told me to go home, and I said, on any other day other than the day after the national title game, I probably would have gone home.
I'm out. I'll see you guys later. I'll take you up on that.
Signs point to me not being here tomorrow, most likely.
Okay.
Yeah. And the wife's already said, you've got doctor's appointments. We've got to find out what's going on with you. Yeah, I'm sick. That's what's going on with me.
Well, we wish you well, dude. I got to be honest. Let me paint the picture for the people. My man, John, he doesn't have the same color in his face. He's got kind of a droopy vibe about him, and he's not concussed. He's got the stomach flu. So, God, please protect all of us from the germs that are in John Michaels right now. Preacher man, I know you were up late watching that ball game. Another heartbreaker. Two times in 11 months, bro. Are you serious?
Yeah, it's kind of rough. I was torn last night. I was pulling for the Dogs. However, my juice box bet, alive and well, I was hoping I would win that, which I did, but I would have gladly given the 20 juice boxes to my man Mark Owens for a dog victory.
That's big of you. Yeah, I got the.
But
I got it right here too.
I'll take my juice box.
This is what juice boxes sound like.
That's
IRS.
Right.
Yeah, they're in rectangular form.
It was torn. I mean, I was talking to Tyler about it. You know, before the game started, he's like, "Who's gonna win?" I was like, "Well, I want Georgia to win, but on the other hand, Daddy's got this going on, so I want this to happen." I said, "So you know." I'm torn.
Juice boxes override football pretty much all the time.
And that's pretty much what I said on Facebook. That's what's up.
What the f*** is going on?
The sports world never stops. So if you missed anything, Rick and John are here to tell you what's up.
What's up, Holmes?
Think about Lola trying to make up for it. Fires to the end zone. Touchdown! Alabama wins! The Crimson Tide will not be denied.
Tunga Vailoa. Tua Tagovailoa. I got to give you credit. You've been calling for that kid all year. When Nick Saban made the move, I saw the collective reaction around the national media going, that's a desperation move. No, what it was is Jalen Hurts sucked last night, and Alabama probably wouldn't have scored if he stays in the football game. Couldn't complete a pass. Georgia had loaded the box. That kid played with steel ones. That kid looked like he was 35 years old and had been reading defenses his entire life. You got to think. Yeah, and you heard the touchdown call right there, courtesy of ESPN, Chris Fowler, to win the national championship 26-23. The previous play, he had just taken a sack for what? A 13-yard loss? 16-yard loss. You're literally, and I looked at my wife and I go, they need 20 yards to even have a remote field goal opportunity. And when that play gets completed, my wife, who's not an Alabama fan by any chance, growing up in Louisiana, looks at me and goes, beep, beep. I'm going upstairs. I'll be waiting for you. And she just slammed the remote down and walked upstairs. That's how mad she was last night. I can't imagine how all the Georgia fans felt.
It was one of the most depressingly final plays ever in terms of Papanastas misses the field goal. You go to OT. Jake Fromm stupidly takes that sack. Blankenship from 51. I mean, does that guy have ice water in his veins? My God. And then you have the sack. You're like, okay, advantage Georgia. And then on a just straight go route, you've got Devontae Smith. And, dude, the Georgia defensive backs that played so well in this game, and Parrish did not play well in this
game.
He got completely roasted by Smith. and Sanders got baited in. Think about this, dude. A true freshman in overtime of the national championship game looked off Dominic Sanders, who's going to be in the NFL one day.
Yeah, who started 52 games at Georgia.
Give me a freaking break. So it was just like that play, John, I'm watching it, and it goes from advantage Georgia to, oh, my God, they just lost the game. Literally, to have a championship swing like that, it was as dramatic as sports gets in America.
In overtime, we didn't finish when we had to, and Alabama did. And to give them credit, but I think everybody can see that Georgia's going to be a force to be reckoned with. I'm very proud of this team and this university, and we're not going anywhere.
I agree with what he's saying. Kirby Smart's going to build something really special. He's building something really special there. Boy, that was your opportunity, though, to get over the hump. You have Alabama down many different times, but we'll spend a lot of the day consoling you guys first and foremost, letting you call in and, you know, just get it off your chest and try to make you feel better about yourself. And we'll break down what we felt went right, what went wrong for Georgia. I thought Jim Chaney in the first half was a genius the way he called the game. In the second half, I think he played into, I'm not going to do the Kyle Shanahan and throw it too much. And he ran it too much, and he didn't find that happy balance, and he let Alabama hang around, and Nick Saban and company win their fifth national championship in 8 years.
This game comes down to one thing. Nick Saban trusted his true freshman or redshirt freshman and put him up to bat, and they went nuts on him. Najee Harris, they're still trying to tackle him. Absolute beast. And, John, to that point, Fromm goes down the sidelines, 80 yards, Mecole Hardman. Game over, right? It felt a lot like the Robert Alford pick six on Tom Brady.
See, I never had that feeling then.
I mean, I didn't feel like game over, but I felt like, oh, my God, I think the Dogs are actually going to do this. I had the same vibe when Alford pick six Brady. And then, John, you have the next six drives. You get three first downs, four punts, one interception, and one field goal. The play calling was exceptionally awful. It was gross. Jim Chaney went into it. He turtled, okay? Mm-hmm. He coached not to lose. And there's culpability here. Kirby Smart has to say, dude, what are you doing? Let's continue to throw the rock. It's been working. John Tuitt, in terms of you had 23 plays after the Mecole Hardman touchdown for 56 yards, 3 points on those six drives. You run the ball 15 times. Mm-hmm. You pass the ball 8 times. Okay, again, 23 plays offensively after Mecole Hardman scores that touchdown. 15 runs. 8 passes, 56 yards, and 3 points. It's play calling. Nick Saban had the aggression and the go-for-it mentality, and we didn't, and we lost. It comes down to that.
Well, part of it, Nick Saban had to be aggressive. You're losing the game. So throw out – Nick Saban would have called a different game if they were up 20-7. They wouldn't have been slinging it all over the yard.
But it's on Chaney and Smart to recognize that here comes Tua in the passing game.
Oh, I
which
get that.
That's the best Bama has looked passing the football all season long.
Well, it's the best they've looked in probably 3 years throwing the football. The other part of that, the play that changed everything, you get the interception, does Georgia, and then Jake Fromm has a ball bounce off a defender's head and get it. That's the game, right? If Georgia goes and puts points on the board there, it's over.
Agreed.
That was the play that changed it to me. You know what that was? That was the Dante Hightower strip sack of a year ago against Matt Ryan.
Was that unlucky? Or was it a bad decision by Jake Fromm?
A little bit of both.
Mm-hmm.
He's sliding in the pocket trying to make a play. Unfortunately, you live with that and you die with that. We take a break. We come back. What else are we going to talk about today? It's the national championship game, the recap. We'll take some calls, 404-741-0929. You can text on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Also, to try to cheer you up, we do have a Falcons victory song at the bottom of the hour on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Scott Howard, voice of the Dogs, and that's about all you can do. You hit that, you know, that high note, and you realize it's over, and then you drop it down in buzzkill mode. Rick Kamla, John Michaels, we're in buzzkill mode because we love you dog fans, man, and we wanted you guys to taste the champagne, have that parade. We wanted to join the party from the perimeter as well. So, John, tell me how this sounds to you.
Mm-hmm.
You get an 80-yard touchdown to Mecole Hardman, and it's 20-7, and then the interception by Fromm. These were the plays for Georgia after that. Chubb run, Fromm third down pass, first down. Michelle run, Fromm third down pass, incomplete punt. Michelle run, first down. Michelle run, first down. Chubb run, Fromm sack, punt. Chubb run, Hardman run, Michelle run, punt. Fromm, and then the last possession of regulation, Fromm incomplete, then he completed a pass, then he incomplete pass to DeAndre Swift on the left side, punt. Then Papanastas misses the field goal. You go to OT. You go Chubb run, Fromm sacked, field goal. Absolutely brutal play calling. Are you with me that Jim Chaney cost the Dogs a national championship?
Yes and no. What's funny is to go back and look at how people were going bananas on Jim Chaney for throwing the ball too much in the first half. We got Chubb. We've got Sony. You got to run it. Blah, blah. And yet, I thought Jim Chaney was a genius in the first half that he called the way that he called the game, and that's why Georgia was up 13 to nothing. I thought in the second half he did get conservative, but here's the flip side of that, and this is where it's easy for us to stand back and go, you got too conservative. What did we bitch at Kyle Shanahan for last year? You threw the ball too much. You had the lead. All you had to do was run it, and you win a Super Bowl.
But it's different, John, because that was at the end of the game, and it was three knees and a field goal, and you win the Super Bowl. You are still in
That was the whole third and fourth quarter people complained about Kyle Shanahan when he got up 28-3.
I'm taking you into my lab. The only criticism that I have of Shanahan in that football game is the final drive after Julio makes that catch. This is third quarter on for Georgia. You can't think at 20-7 that we're good. We got 20 points. We're good. We don't need any more. We just need to play defense and run clock. Sorry, that was a complete miscalculation if that was the thought by the Georgia coaching staff.
How many sacks did you read there in that second half? Two or three?
It was Fromm sacked and Fromm sacked. Two.
Okay, on how many pass attempts?
They had seven. So, ladies and gentlemen, 23 plays after the Hardman touchdown. Eight passes, 15 runs. So you had eight pass plays. Two of those were sacked. And you had six others that Fromm was able to get the ball off. And I think you had one passing first down. You had, after the Hardman catch, you had three first downs. That's it.
I think two of them were on the same drive.
Two on Michelle runs on the same drive, and you had a Fromm third down pass conversion. That was it.
Here's where I'm upset about Jim Chaney, and I don't know if this is a Chaney thing or a Kirby thing. I thought the rotations at the end of the game were what were the most blasphemous, not the play calling. Why is Sony Michel not in the game in the fourth quarter? That's something that somebody that's standing there with Kirby Smart needs to ask. Was he hurt? Was he tired? Is there a substitution pattern that they stuck to every year that they couldn't go away from? Sony should have been in the game when that game was on the line.
So here's the deal to that point, and you're right, he didn't get the rock enough. The first possession of the fourth quarter, that was when Michel had two first down runs. That was the first possession of the fourth quarter for the Dogs. Then the next possession in the fourth quarter, it went Chubb run, Hardman run, Michelle run, punt. And then the final possession of the fourth quarter, it was three passes by Jake Fromm. To your point, Sony needs to be put up to bat more. And in overtime, he did not touch the rock. It was Chubb run, Fromm gets sacked. So you're absolutely that Sony Michel should. And by the way, shame on Kirby and Jim Chaney for being too loyal to Nick Chubb. It was abundantly obvious that this was a bad matchup for a great running back. You needed Michelle and you needed Swift on the perimeter because the front seven of Bama was flying around too much. Chubb was not going to get busy against those guys.
And that's why early in the game I thought they did great because they were keeping Bama off balance. They were going four wide, running out of that set, kind of like we talked about yesterday. They were first down play actioning. And Jake Fromm wasn't overly sharp yesterday. I think there were some times that the nerves were getting to him. But then he made some unbelievable throws throughout the duration of the game as well. So you looked at that. It was kind of one of those ebbs and flows that you just look and you go, everything was there for the taking. And then you got the gift to Papanastas, or whatever the hell his name is. That's Greek for not going to be Alabama's kicker next year. He yanks one to the left, and you make the field goal in overtime and get a sack. And then you go cover two, I guess is what it was, and your safety gets sucked into the middle. Your corner doesn't get enough depth, and you have a true freshman running down the field unimpeded for a touchdown.
Yeah, we didn't do a good job of finishing, you know. We had some drives. We had all the momentum. We ended up punting the ball, and that hurts us, the momentum. And, I mean, that's a great defense we went up against. So a lot of respect for them, what they do. A lot of big bodies up front. Makes it hard to run. But at the end of the day, it comes down to just us not executing well.
So think about this, John. Nick Saban, I don't have the box score in front of me. I think Damian Harris, who's going to the NFL, six carries, 17 yards. Bo Scarborough barely saw the rock. Who was in there? It was Jacobs. It was Najee Harris. Because Nick Saban saw it ain't working with the guys that took me to the dance. I got to find a new girl.
Right.
And Kirby Smart did not do that. Another advantage Saban, disadvantage Kirby Smart. Kirby was too loyal to a fault to Nick Chubb in that football game. It's very, very simple. And Jim Chaney, obviously way too dedicated to the run. So that I think play calling and coaching cost the dog this victory.
There's a lot of things to me that cost him, and I'm not going to put it solely on Chaney. Like I said, if not for Chaney, they're not in that game. And had he thrown it too much in the second half, people would have been eviscerating him for the same thing.
All I'm saying is you ran 23 plays, and it's 15-8. You need the balance that you had in the first half. You know, if you ran 23 plays, it probably should be 12 runs, 11 passes. It shouldn't be 15-8.
Yeah, he got sacked two times in there, and the passing game just wasn't doing it. I agree to a point, but like I said, the issue wasn't that you lost the lead in regular. You lost the game in overtime. You allowed them to creep back into it. The interception from Jake Fromm is the game changer. You get any points out of that, and it's a completely different game.
To me, the game, and I agree, that was a huge play because you get the pick, and you've got 20-7. Tua throws that terrible pass.
It was a run play that he threw right to a backer.
You intercept, you get the rock back, and you give it right back to him. But, John, the play to me that turned the game from Georgia dominance to, oh, my God, Alabama's back in this game, was 3rd and 7.
Oh, yeah.
Tua's flush to the right. You got like four dogs ready to jump on him, and he squirts out and escapes and gets a first down. To me, that was the here comes Alabama moment.
Let's take a call here, 404-741-0929. Dogs fans, we're here for you all day long. We'll start with Travis out in Buford. He wants to talk Georgia. Travis, how you doing?
Hello, guys. I have to say, I'm going to preface something, and when I say this, don't get crazy, especially you Bulldog fans. I'm a Tech fan. However, in the 29 years of me being a fan, I've never had more of an admiration and a respect for this team. The fact that Kirby was able to do what he's done with this team in 2 years, especially with Mark Richt's recruits, you can only imagine the potential. And the only silver lining for me is that I hope Tech was watching and realizing that the Dogs, there's something to be reckoned with. So hold your head up high, guys.
Hey, good call by a Tech fan. I will say this, though, that I heard a little shot in there at Mark Richt. The Dogs have 31 seniors, okay? So you've got all of that to make up. But they got here with Mark Richt players, okay? And I know Jake Fromm is a Kirby player, and Fromm was integral in what the Dogs did this year. But the best backfield in college football is Sony Michel and Nick Chubb. Seniors, Richt recruits. Lorenzo Carter, Richt recruit. Davin Bellamy, Richt recruit. I could go on and on and on. Ledbetter, Trenton Thompson, all these guys were Richt recruits. So appreciate the call. And a little bit Tech to Dog love right there. But don't take a shot at Mark Richt. He definitely left the cupboard full for Kirby Smart.
I don't know if they're first in the country on rush defense. I don't know. But they got big physical guys up front. It's hard to run the ball against Alabama. It's really tough. That's what makes them great. They've got depth in the front. You know, Nick does a tremendous job recruiting defensive linemen, and they make it really hard to run the ball. So we wanted to be able to throw it, loosen them up. Thought Jake did a good job. And then in the end, we were able to run the ball some. When it mattered most and counted most, we couldn't close it out and run the ball for some first downs. It probably hurt us.
Absolutely did. You left Nick Saban just too much time on the clock. And, you know, the cojones for him to go to freshman. If you're looking at Alabama, go ahead and pencil them in the playoffs next year.
I think
you might pencil him in for a championship next year.
I was just going to say, I think you can virtually promise a championship from that team. I mean, they are going to turn some players over to the National Football League. But my dude, freshman pulled off a 20-7 comeback in the national championship game. Give me a break.
Did not flinch at all. This hour of the program brought to you by the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. Take a break. We'll come back. We will put you in a better mood. We'll play the Falcons victory song and then more of your calls. That's next.
It's the slice of life on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
All right, it is a therapeutic, somewhat neurotic slice of life today as Rick and John with M.O. and Preacher Man are going to try to play head shrinker for the frustrated and heartbroken Georgia fan base. And the slice of life is brought to you by Shane Company. Blow her mind, not your budget, with an engagement ring from Shanko, your friend in the jewelry business. So none of us are doctors, but we're going to try to play MDs right now. And, John, you have a great bit of medicine for the people.
Well, I hope so. I mean, people were asking for it yesterday. We couldn't do it because we were live at Stats, and it's kind of tough to do the song. Paul called me a couple of words saying I should do it live. If we didn't have this stupid delay, I would have done it live because Mark will tell you, I hit the victory song in one take.
Look, you know, if we can't bust each other's, you know, what's and what good is this show?
Very true.
It's worth nothing if we can't bust each other's.
Here is the Falcons Victory Tuesday song. Hey, it's the Falcons Victory Tuesday. We're going to try to take your mind off what happened last night. I promise you. We're on to Philly. Atlanta Falcons know how to party.
Atlanta Falcons know how to party in the city of East Point, in the city of the good old Swats, in the city of Midtown. We keep it rocking, we keep it rocking. Now let's win a playoff game in the wild, wild west. We win out there like we are in our nest. The run game hit your defense right in the chest. Bring Snoop and Tone low, though your field was a mess. We from the Georgia Peach State where the bomb birds be. A state where we have things to cheer for plenty. The game be on a mission for that super dream. We got D Free serving your D like fiends. The game on the scene, 5 years dropping sports tunes. Who in Sanu was throwing juke moves? Now the defense fire, top 10, we stop. You got you on the ground like Keanu had to pop you. It's all good from the deck to zone, Trey. Atlanta is a bomb, we took over L.A. Throw up the A if you feel the same way. John puts it down because we going all the way. Falcons know how to party. Atlanta Falcons know how to party. In the city of East Point, in the city of the good old Swats, in the city of Smyrna, we keep it rocking, we keep it rocking. Oh yeah, on to Philadelphia. Hey LA, thanks for the weather, and thanks for the flu as well. That's why your ass are out of the playoffs. Bye bye.
Give it up for John Michaels, ladies and gentlemen. Stand up, even if you're in your car. Stand up and give him a standing ovation. That was right up there with my other favorite by you, and it was the post-Seattle playoff win.
Okay.
Victory song. I love that one. And that was right up there, dude. Well done. Well done.
Appreciate it.
And by the way, John did that. He wrote it over the weekend with the stomach flu. He did it this morning despite the stomach flu. Yeah. So kudos, bro.
Covered in vomit, still got it in one take.
Did. That's awesome.
One take.
So we've now found the way to make things better. I puke on myself, and then the song comes out really well. That's what we're going to do.
That shouldn't be necessary.
Dude, you were spitting up rhymes. You were good.
That wasn't all I was spitting up. There may be a little pork in that studio if you want.
Ew.
Maybe a hot dog.
Ew.
I haven't had a hot dog in 3 weeks, so I don't know where it came from.
So Jonathan's in the throes of the stomach fluid. Yesterday at Stats, he gets, I look like medium buffalo wings.
Yeah, I did. I got wings. That actually made me feel better.
Did it really?
Yeah, I went and worked out afterwards. I felt okay. Not so much this morning.
That sucks, man. But we are here trying to play Head Shrinker for you. We're going to play that victory song throughout the show. And, of course, like Falcons-Eagles, kind of a big game on Saturday.
A little bit.
Georgia fans kind of try to start to let go and move on and look ahead to that. Because I know that Georgia fans and Falcons fans a lot of times are in lockstep. A lot of times they're the same people. And we're going to go around the room here. We're going to try to make you feel better. We're going to take your calls. And we're going to continue taking calls all day as we try to play Head Shrinker for you. All I'm going to say, and John, I realize that this is probably falling on deaf ears today with everybody depressed and frustrated and annoyed and all that kind of stuff. But you're not supposed to be up 20-17 on Alabama in the third quarter of the national championship game in year two with your new coach. You're not supposed to be there. Okay, but you were, and it failed, and you lost, and all that sucks. But I'm doing my best here to try to make you feel better. The Dogs are beyond ahead of schedule. They're way ahead of schedule. So take heart in that. It's going to be tough today because the wounds are still very, very open. They haven't healed yet. But when those wounds heal and you realize the great ride you've been on and how healthy the program is right now, I think you're going to be feeling good, man. But that's the best I can do to try to make you feel better.
You know what? That honestly makes me feel worse. Because I would rather, we got to the championship game and lost 35-10, and you go, all right, we weren't really supposed to be here yet. The fact that you're winning and you have a chance to win a title, it's just the carrot was dangled and dangled, and then they snatched it away from you, and you fell face first. And unfortunately, it feels like February again, and I never wanted to feel like February again.
Now, the Falcons are our team. They're more John's team. He's a part of the Falcons radio network. Jamie Dukes let me claim them as a fan. And ever since, like I said, they're the only team that gets my true fandom. So that Super Bowl defeat, John, felt worse than what I watched last night. But last night felt pretty awful, even for a guy that does not have a G as a tramp stamp. But this guy does, Mark Owens. Try to make the masses feel better, bro.
You know what it is? It's like when you suffer a tragedy. And for a lot of people, this is a tragedy. This is one of the worst things that could happen. You spend so much time investing your time, your effort, your energy, your money getting to that game last night. And this happened. So you're almost in a state of mourning. Well, and I know some Bulldog fans don't want to hear this here, but as a guy that's glass half full, and I'm right here with you guys, and I put it out there last night, I couldn't afford to go to the game. At the end of the night, kickoff tickets were still $1,500, and I said, sorry, guys, I love my dogs, just out of my price range. But I'm going to tell you this. There's a little bit of good news coming out of last night's game.
Mm-hmm.
All right? The glass is still half full if you're a Georgia fan. Here's some good things to think about. Georgia gear is going to be cheap now. Had Georgia won for the next 6 months, anything with a Circle G on it is going to be jacked up at least 60%. So now they're like, because the bandwagon is going to let loose a little bit, mm-hmm. and now you're going to see your Academy Sports and your Dick's and you know your sporting goods stores are going to try to start getting rid of their Georgia gear. Dog Nation traveled like no other team in the country this year. Look at the takeover in South Bend. Look at the takeover in Pasadena. Look at last night. Granted, you could call it a home game if you will, but it was still heavily
Chris
Georgia.
Fowler said 70-30 Georgia to Bama fans.
So now you're going to see big teams. You're going to see your Texas. You're going to see your Wisconsin, Penn State, Oregon. They're going to want to start scheduling games with Georgia, get some of this damn redneck Bulldog money at their school. So you're going to start seeing bigger, high-profile schools wanting to get a piece of that Bulldog Nation. Next season, you're losing seniors. You're still going to have Fromm at quarterback. You still got Swift. You still got Heron. You still got Holyfield, Godwin, Ridley, Hardman, Isaac Nauta. You still got a good group coming back next year. Here's another thing to think about, Dog Nation. We had an extra month of football. How many teams can say they had an extra month of football? Not pointing any fingers across the street from here in Midtown. They were done at Thanksgiving. They loved it. We lost, but guess what? We still had three more games when you were done. How many schools can say that they had another month to get behind your team? And finally, a couple of numbers for you. Pitchers and catchers for baseball, they report in 35 days.
35 days?
Grant went with that last night. I did see that.
Dog Nation, you've only got 235 days till we tee it up between the hedges against Austin Peay. And guess what? We got 4 days. 4 days to the Falcons face the Eagles in the divisional playoffs. So it's not all doom and gloom. Yes, it's a dark cloud over Bulldog Nation right now, but there's a lot to look forward to.
And the victory song is up on iTunes, or it will be shortly, and you guys can peruse that if you want. We'll replay it a little bit later on in the program. Hey, be a fan at Special Olympics Georgia State Indoor Winter Games this Saturday. Support over 3,000 Special Olympic athletes as they compete in bowling, gymnastics, basketball, and more. Competitions take place at different venues throughout Cobb and Bartow counties. Visit SpecialOlympics.org for a detailed schedule and venues. 92.9 The Game will be at Olympic Town at Lake Point Sports Complex in Emerson from 10 to 2 this Saturday. I promise we will take some calls. I know we've kind of been trying to get you guys to feel better. We'll let you sound off next as we continue to break down the national championship game. What went wrong for Georgia last night is they fall to Alabama 26-23. Bama wins their fifth title in 8 years on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The city of Smyrna, we keep it rocking. We keep it rocking.
The Bunker Mentality with Andy Bunker.
Terrell Davis probably not on that same level. Now, they get treated the same way in terms of the Hall of
Fame. 2-9, The Game.
Rick and John here in the Kia Studios. M.O., P.B., we're all here. And, boy, that field goal by Blankenship in the first overtime takes me back to Kirby's decision not to line up Rodrigo Blankenship when he gained 19 yards on the punt. John, do you remember that dog ball at the 39-yard line? He could have brought Blankenship out for probably a 55 or 56-yard field goal at that point. He did not. They punted. They only gained 19 yards in the process. And I told you yesterday at Stats that Kirby needs to maximize every possible opportunity to put Blankenship up to bat, and he didn't do that.
When he did put him up to bat, though, Rodrigo was banging that thing through. He kicked like Matt Bryant. Like, there was no doubters, and that was, I thought, what was going to be the difference right there at the end is the fact that he was able to bang through a 51-yarder in overtime like it was nothing, and you knew that Papanastos wasn't going to make – he wasn't making another kick.
I agree. Now, the situation I'm talking about, and it involved also some madness from Brown punching the UGA player, getting a 15-yard penalty but not getting tossed, and then barking at an assistant coach. So we're driving. Levi Wallace makes the play. Again, ball at the 39-yard line. You've got Blankenship for probably a 56-yard field goal. I saw him boom a 55-yarder at the Rose Bowl. I'm putting him up to bat right there. And you say, well, if you miss and you give great field position to Alabama, you gained 19 yards on the punt. John, what would you rather have? A swing of that leg for three or 19 yards gained on a change of possession?
I would have rather have him just do a traditional punt instead of the stupidness they did with Bryce Ramsey, who looked like, ooh, maybe I'm going to fake it. Oh, now I'm going to kick it with my left foot.
He just wanted some TV time. He hadn't seen much this season, so he wants to hold out and say, look, Mom, I made it. Made it to the national championship. Oh, got a kick.
That was almost blocked. Holding it. That was idiotic, dude. That whole thing. So that's on Kirby. I chalked that up as another mistake for Kirby.
Let's take some calls. Some guys have been hanging on, want to sound off on the game. 404-741-0929. We're here for you. You can lean on our shoulders. More Mark's than ours because he needs it as well today. Trent in Atlanta is going to lead us off here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Trent, how you doing?
Doing pretty good, man. It's going to take a minute to get this out. Just bear with me. Two times in the year sucks. The weakest team on the field last night was the Big Ten refs. And I'm going to go through five calls, which are not even all of them. There was three bad calls in 3 minutes. The Swift face mask, which would have given us a first down and momentum. The offside block punt, which was a bunch of BS.
Boom.
It's okay. The Alabama defensive player hitting Fromm in the head after he was down when the play was over. Mm-hmm. No personal foul call. Okay, let's go out. You hit number 48, throws a punch. He's not ejected. Later in the game, he pins us on the 6-yard line with an incredible play.
Yep.
He shouldn't have been in the game. And then on top of it, I saw three false starts that were not called by Alabama. I mean, go watch the damn tape. Okay, hold on. And I'm going to end with, for this point, that Big Ten ref crew should never be allowed to ref another game. Okay, and in reference to y'all's new Falcon songs, we don't need to know how to party. We need to know how to play football. Go back to your day job. They're hiring fluffers every day.
Now, is that at me or is that at the team?
That was a little bit of a shot at you, I'm afraid,
well, that's fine.
At the end there. Boy, that
well, maybe he can take more notes on the referee. Stop crying. Win a game. How about that? Now I'm not going to feel bad for that dude.
All you're going to do is get John Michaels to go there. John Michaels is dealing with the stomach flu right now. He was told to go home. Mm-hmm. He is here because he wants to be here on a huge day after, you know, the national championship game. Go easy, y'all. And that was a great call. Kind of reminded me of me with one of my lists breaking down the game. And then you got to go there. I don't understand that at the end. I thought that was out of bounds to take a shot at my boy. John puts a lot of time into those songs, and I thought it was well delivered. To his point, though.
Oh, that just sounds like somebody that doesn't like his day job. So he's a little bit upset that he can't have my day job. If you want to apply, though, go to intercom.com. Go see if you can find something here and maybe come on board. Maybe you can do better than I can, or maybe you can.
John, in a way, are you happy that he took a shot because it's getting your blood boiling a little bit?
Yeah, whatever. You know what? People like that, yeah, I know you're miserable. Like I said, I feel bad for Georgia fans. I really do. Mark Owens is my boy. DJ Shockley, Randy Mack, those are my boys. Grant McCauley's my guy. Brian Gebhardt, I feel bad for those guys. I feel horrible for a lot. The Eddies and Ackworth that I've known for years that live and die with it. You want to call and take shots at the songs? Like, dude, get over yourself.
Well said. Let me make this point about the referee crew. And, M.O., I want you to listen to this. Capron, I think was his name, C-A-P-R-O-N, Capron, I think. And I'm guessing he was one of the, if not the highest graded officials in the Big Ten, right? You would think, during the national championship game. Okay, he lost me, John, at the opening coin toss when he was explaining, you know, heads is this and tails is Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And he said, okay, to the Alabama player that was standing right there. As if the Alabama player did not fully understand what heads and tails meant. And by the way, really, Alabama's going to win both coin tosses. I thought that was kind of stupid. And they picked tails both times. But Capron lost me right there. I was like, oh, this dude's going Joey Crawford, trying to put himself, you know, into this thing and make a name for himself. Mm-hmm. And then what did he do with the coin toss in overtime? Once again, grabbing the spotlight and just shining it right into his eyes. That guy was an asshat, and it doesn't surprise me at all that that referee crew did a bad job last night.
Before the last caller went off on his idiotic tangent, some of his points are correct. And if you followed me on Twitter last night, at JohnMichaels929, I thought there were some very egregious calls. The play that Jake Fromm gets tackled and number 30 from Alabama takes his hand and just shoves his head to the ground right in front of the official, and the official goes, oh, I didn't see anything. That's a penalty in any level from Pop Warner football up to the NFL. They're going to call that penalty. I thought the offsides on the block punt was terrible.
Not offsides.
He wasn't offside.
He was not offside.
You block that punt, it's completely different.
Georgia got screwed by the refs. What can I say? But look, that was one of my reasons why they lost. I did not want to hit you guys upside the head early in the show with that take because typically it's a very unpopular take. You talk to ball players. How do the Hugh Douglases and the Randy Macks and the Randy Crosses and the Jamie Dukes accept complaining about the refs? To a man, they say execute,
right.
Make plays. They don't want to hear it.
Right.
So it's really kind of a fan/media thing to complain about the refs, but the refs were a factor last
night. Yeah, and there's always going to be times that the refs are a factor. You have to be able to overcome those things, and that's the part that stinks for Georgia. You had your chance with a sack on the first play in overtime to overcome everything that everybody's been talking about. Yet you let a receiver, a true freshman receiver, run by you and run wide open into the – I would have rather the defensive back tackled him halfway down the field.
No question.
Get the 15-yard penalty and start over.
I mean, Parrish just gave up. He just said, whoops, he went by me. Sanders, come help, help, help. Oh, no, we just lost. It was brutal.
It was. And it was one of those you're watching the ball in the air going, please let somebody else be back there. Oh, God, there's nobody else
back
there.
But, John, let me take you back to that play. As Tua lets that baby go, did you not say, oh, my God – because it was a laser beam, dude. It was one of the great throws we've seen all year. I was like, game over. Because especially when a QB, you know when he's got his man because he just steps in and strides into that pass and rips it. And I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah, it was not something that felt very good. Let's go to Chip and Griffin. Chip on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Hey, man, how y'all doing today?
What's going on, Chip?
Not much, man. Upset about the outcome of the game last night. But just give a little credit to me. You already know he gets it. Looked like he prepared that guy to play, and Georgia wasn't ready for him. You can tell they practiced that because the guy came out with a lot of confidence. To go back to Georgia, Nick Chubb, I love him, but last night wasn't his game. You got to win. You got to play your horse, man, and they didn't do it. And I was just a little bit upset how they came out and didn't make the adjustment in the second half, O'Chaney. So, hey, Georgia, y'all got a lot. Hey, see you next year.
All right, thanks for the call, bro.
Chip normally sounds so chipper when he calls. You can understand today, not so much.
I made the point earlier in the show. Kirby Smart, Jim Chaney, way too loyal to Nick Chubb. We love Nick Chubb. He's a legend. He's going to the NFL. Way too loyal to Nick Chubb last night. John, it's a bad matchup for him. Nick Chubb against that Alabama front seven, it's a bad matchup. It just is. He's not fast enough. He's not elusive enough. They should have recognized that.
To go to what Chip said about Nick Saban having Tua prepared, he's played him in a lot of games this year. Now, he hasn't taken meaningful snaps like he did last night. It's not like he was in the Auburn game trying to lead them back. For a little bit, I looked and I go, boy, they must know, and Nick Saban obviously knows a hell of a lot more than you or I will ever know about college football. He had to know something at halftime to go, I'm going to pull the trigger right here. Because that's not a move that you put Tua in, and then and the first drive was not very good. You don't put Tua in and then two series later go, all right, Jalen, we're going to go back to you.
Now, he said that the initial plan was to start Tua and then see how it went.
Mm-hmm.
That could be a lie, John.
Right.
He could be trying to, you know, prop up Jalen Hurts a little bit in his ego with that comment. We'll never know, but I agree with you. I think he saw, and look, let me make this point. I don't know if Alabama scores a point with Jalen Hurts in that game. It's 13 stink with Jalen Hurts. The score with Tua, 26-10 Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, and by the way, John, let me ask you this question. So when Nick Saban, going into halftime, whoever he was getting, at Rinaldi, he was being interviewed by, he trucked Jalen Hurts and then immediately said, but we got to, you know, get open. We got to protect better. But the first thing he said was take a little bit of a shot at Jalen Hurts. And I was like, uh-oh. And Desmond Howard comes out immediately saying they have to play Tua in the second half. And I'm like, Desmond, you're rhyme stealing because I'm sitting here on my couch thinking the same exact thing. I thought Tua should have gotten into the game against Clemson. When I'm watching the Auburn game and that collapse against them, I'm like, Tua should have been in the second half of that game. I mean, what more terrible quarterback play do you need to see from Jalen Hurts before you go with a guy who can actually spiral the ball?
And one of the things in the first half, there were receivers open for Alabama. Jalen misses a wide open Calvin Ridley on what, the second or third play inside the red zone that they have. He runs a little just fade route. Defensive back throws down. Jalen Hurts throws the ball out of the back of the end zone and never gives them an opportunity to go catch it. The thing was, Alabama's always had had talent at receiver. I remember we talked about this last week, and we looked at Calvin Ridley with, you know, 700 yards, and then it was like, all right, it's Jerry Jeudy with 200, it's Henry Ruggs with those guys were all five-star recruits, and they all can play.
So, John, you're mentioning that play, and it kind of got lost in all the other drama. But you're right. Jalen Hurts misses that pass to a wide-open Calvin Ridley. Guess who fell down to create a wide-open opportunity?
That would be Malcolm Parrish.
Malcolm Parrish. Mm-hmm. Malcolm Parrish should be dead to dog fans. I'm not saying literally, but if you're a dog fan, if you want to, like, pinpoint one player to, like, direct your angst at, it's Malcolm Parrish. He let y'all down last night.
Yeah, he did not play well. Let's go back to the phones, 404-741-0929. Josh is in Jackson. Josh, how you doing on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game?
What's good, guys?
What's going on?
I just want to say first, I am a Tech fan, okay? So just bear with me here for a minute. I do want to say John Michaels, love the song. I don't know what that dude was talking about. He's crazy. Anyways, last night, me and my cousin watching the game, we're both Tech fans. We're not really rooting for Georgia. We're not really rooting for Alabama. And at one point in that game, we looked at each other and we're like, holy crap, Georgia can really do this, all right? And then all of a sudden, here comes Toy Lula. Or whatever his name is. That kid is phenomenal. He's got a cannon. Nick Saban has some brass cojones for throwing him in there in the second half. And everybody wants to complain about the offside penalty. Well, technically it was a false start on Alabama, right? So throw that out there anyway. But Georgia had 130-something rushing yards the whole game and one touchdown. Jake Fromm threw the ball all over the field. Again, only one touchdown. So they just kind of failed a little bit to get into the end zone, and I just think that was an incredible game. Georgia had that game in hand, and, you know, they just couldn't pull it through in the end. I feel sorry for Georgia fans because I hate Georgia. I hate Nick Saban, but, man, was that a good game last night. All the way around.
Yeah, it was an unbelievable game. It's going to go down in history books as one of the, I don't know, five or six best college football games ever. It's funny. Georgia just played in one of the five or six best college football games. The week previous was on the winning end against Oklahoma. Now you're going to go down one of the five or six best college games on the losing end.
And you think about this, back-to-back national championship games where the game was won on the final play mm-hmm. of the game. It doesn't get any better than that. And to Josh's point about the Dogs had the game in hand, I don't agree with that. It's 20-7 in the third quarter. The game is not in hand. Unfortunately, I think that Kirby Smart and Jim Chaney kind of thought the game was in hand. And they went, boo, and they shut down the offense. And it was 15 runs and 8 passes in the 23 plays after the Hardman touchdown. That's it, guys and girls. 23 plays run by the Georgia offense from mid-third quarter all the way through overtime. And it's because it was way too conservative. John, after you get the interception from Tua, and then on that drive where Jake Fromm threw that unfortunate interception, as you said, if you get points on that drive, even a blank and ship field goal to make it 23-7, mm-hmm. momentum is still fully on your sideline. You have now extended the lead, and at that point, the game is probably in hand. But 20-7, the game is not in hand in the third quarter.
And I'll be honest, I didn't have a problem with them calling a first down pass after the interception. The problem was you had immediate pressure off the right for Jake Fromm. He slides to the left. He's got his receiver open on a check down, and unfortunately, he hits it off a helmet of a defensive lineman. That play doesn't happen another 99 times. Unfortunately, it did for Georgia then, and that was exactly where the game changed. We'll take a break. We'll come back. More conversation on Georgia and Alabama. Also, we'll get into a conversation coming up at noon. Dan Quinn, you'll hear what he had to say to John and Hugh, and we'll replay the victory song in the noon hour, whether you like it or not. On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Yeah, I know this team will never stop believing, man. Even whenever I kicked the field goal, man, we just, to win the game, we knew that something going to happen in our favor and they end up missing it. And we had our chance to win the game, but we didn't get it done. But we never stopped believing.
And the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Work it, make it, do it. Makes us all the better, faster, stronger.
That's our boy Bill Hancock, executive director of the College Football Playoff Committee, handing the trophy to, you know who, the GOAT, that guy. Let's talk Jacob Eason real quick, and then we're going to go back to the phone lines and take your calls. Kerry, Dexter, Brandon, Vince,
maybe.
And Alvin.
we love you,
we see you, we love you, and we're going to get you on here in just a second. But so Jacob Eason, according to reports, is going to go to the Washington Huskies. So this is how it lays out. Jake Browning's going to come back for this next year, but it syncs up perfectly because Jacob Eason is going to have to sit out due to the transfer rules in the NCAA. So 2016, 2017, those 2 years of eligibility gone for Jacob Eason. 2018, he will sit out. He will have 2 years of college eligibility left in 2019 and in 2020. My guess is that he's going to have two big years. Mm-hmm. But my guess is, John, that he will be better aided if he plays both his redshirt junior and redshirt senior years at Washington. That would put him in the 2021 NFL draft. That's just how I see this playing out. I think he will stay both years at Washington.
Well, it gets him to be closer to home. He obviously is not winning the job back from Jake Fromm, although I've seen people on our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line say, Georgia needed to throw last night. It should have been Eason, which is one of the dumbest things I've ever seen on our text line in the history of some things that have come in on our text line.
Was that Colin Coward?
No, it was not Colin Coward.
Who put that puke out there?
No.
Was that him?
No,
it
wasn't satellite ears either.
Oh, Skip Bayless?
No. Big ears. The guy that you were hanging out with Friday.
Oh, by the way, you want to talk about the all-time rhyme stealers? We do this little joint over at NBA TV. We've been doing it for years, probably about 5 years. It's called the NBA Finals Film Room.
Yeah.
I've been on this gig for, I think, 3 years now. Mm-hmm. Vince Cellini did it before me. It's a great show. We literally put a live play-by-play on the finals with two coaches and an analyst.
Sure.
And they run the show. I do a little traffic hopping, and it's all about the analyst talking live over the game. Oh, guess what? The Paul Feinbaum Film Room, where they do the exact same thing. I'm just saying, kudos to my bosses, my genius bosses over at NBA TV and Turner Sports. Y'all were way ahead of the game, and now you're getting rhymes stolen by Paul Feinbaum.
Oh, you know. That's your boy.
So there's that.
You guys were over there taking pictures with him. Mark gave him a hug. I mean,
was the picture I took with the thumbs, was that appropriately cheesy?
No, it was hilarious. It was perfectly cheesy for that blank wagon. I told you he'd walk in with security. You guys thought I was kidding.
Gene Chizik walked in with security.
Okay, Gene Chizik's a former coach.
Right. And probably ticked a few people off at some point down the line.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's some Auburn fans that want to hurt him.
But Laura Rutledge did not walk in with security.
No, because she's secure in who she is.
Let's go to the phones,
John. Let's do that. Paul Feinbaum's probably got security right now. No, Paul Feinbaum right now is
not more than Tom Rinaldi.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. Although it was kind of funny last night, as much as I hated to watch the post. Nick Saban goes, I'm asking the questions here. And he asked Tom Rinaldi. And then Tom Rinaldi didn't answer the question. He's
deer in headlights, John.
I got a purple tie on. I'm going to turn the mic back.
Deer in headlights.
That's what he was.
Speaking of security, guess who else had security with him? Like GSP walking him into the Omni Hotel.
Who?
You know, on College Game Day, the bear, kind of the big guy,
Chris Felica.
Yeah, he had a GSP patrolman walking
really?
Him. Yeah, because he was coming in. I'm assuming everybody at ESPN stayed at the Omni downtown because I saw Adnan Verk.
Okay.
He was there. A couple other of the broadcasters were there.
Who would ever want to hurt the bear?
I know, right?
The bear looks a guy that works in your office.
He's not as big in real life.
Really?
Yeah,
no producers needed armed security to get to the set.
I mean, I actually like the bear. I'm not a huge fan of the way he talks on the TV show, but he's got great information.
His information is second to none, but he's got a little bit of a lisp, and that's why he's not an actual TV host. We have to get a super quick hot take from Paul Bible before we go back to the phones, and it involves Jacob Eason. So, Preacher Man. So Jacob Eason's going to have some pretty good years for the Huskies in 2019 and 2020, and then hit the NFL draft in 2012. And what will you in 2021? Pardon me. What will you be saying about Eason in 2021?
Crappy Pac-12 quarterback.
We'll get him an Eason jersey. You know, that's what we're getting, Rick, for Christmas this year. We're going to get you an Eason Washington jersey.
Let's get that for the Preacher Man.
No, he's a Washington State guy.
Let's get Preacher
My
Man.
My wife will kick me out the house if you try to put me in a Husky jersey.
Well, let's get him a Falk jersey for Washington State. Remember, he can remember all the big wins.
We found a T-shirt.
We tried to do that, but because he's a player, you can't put his name on the back of a jersey.
Yeah, it's illegal. But we also had found a shirt that says, I love Luke Falk, and I couldn't find it in your size. We were going to order you a double XL, I love Luke Falk. They only had, like, medium. Now, we probably should have ordered the medium just to be funny. Rick would have had a Luke Falk halter top on, which would have been awesome.
My midriff showing. only charity would have liked that.
My wife doesn't even want to see my midriff. Matter of fact, my midriff, I think there's a hot dog stuck down there somewhere right about now. Let's go back to the phone. Let's go to Vince in Hampton. He wants to sound off on the game last night. Vince, how you doing?
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call, man. Rick, this your homeboy Vince from Fort Lauderdale, Jam Pony for Life, man. You need to go sign up with Slick Vic with them rap songs, man.
All right.
Hey, but Hey, I'm a Gator fan, but I seen, but at the end of the day, I'm a football fan. So I saw two heavyweights going at it, man. And I think you guys made a good point where Sony Michel had the hot hand. And with 3 minutes to go, Georgia had the ball, and he was not on the field. And he was the difference maker for Georgia the whole night. He got key first down. He was they couldn't stop him. And unfortunately, man, that little guy from Tua or whatever his name from Alabama, this guy came out, man, and Rick, I promise you, man, this guy looked like Steve Young back there for San Francisco throwing to Jerry Rice and Taylor with his left hand, man. And that was the difference. But I hated to see the game come down to that, man. It was two heavyweights. I wish the game could have ended at 20-20, call it a draw, man. But I felt sorry for the Georgia fans. But it was a great game, man. But I tell you, Bulldog Nation, hold your head up, man, because right now I'm a Gator fan and y'all got me real nervous. So, hey, good luck to y'all next year, man. And, hey, John, hope you feel better, man. Jam pointed for life.
Appreciate it, Vince. Yeah. It's funny today, Mark, that we've actually heard condolences from Tech fans. You've heard condolences from Florida fans. The other 364 days out of the year, they wish, you know, everything harm coming your way. Now, all of a sudden, it's condolences.
I love how everybody here is treating me with kid gloves today.
Hey, buddy. How you doing? You okay?
I had actually ordered you flowers.
How are you, man? Can I make a donation or something? You okay? You want to talk about it? No, it's good. That's fine.
I want to go back to a text last night in our little group text to kind of put everything on the air. Mark, and let's just say, I said, sorry, Mark, you know, my heart truly hurts for you guys tonight. Mark, glass half full. Hey, at least I didn't spend $3,000 on that. Only you would think of it that way.
I mean, even at kickoff, I'm not lying. I had every Vivid Seat, SeatGeek, Ticketmaster, StubHub. I was searching them all, and I gave it until about 6:30 is the thing when I headed back home, until about 6:29 to check in. Even at kickoff, they're still at about 1,500 plus of the BS fees. So.
How mad were you when you see the, you know, the 20-year-old standing on the side, you know, right there, front row, jumping around.
I think I even tweeted that out last night. I was like, what?
Yeah, you did.
Why are 18, 19, 20-year-olds standing front row? Mom and Dad, will you adopt me for one game? Because you see these kids. But I will give them credit. Those 20-year-olds are cheering louder than some of the big deep pocket donors.
Well, here's the thing. I've said this for the Super Bowl and for the college football playoffs. I know it's big business, and I know why it'll never happen again. There should be blocks for real fans that brokers can't buy, that companies can't buy, that corporations can't buy. Like, literally, okay, if it's a 70,000-seat stadium, there's going to be 10,000 good seats. I don't want seats in the 350 level. There should be 10,000 good seats, 5,000 for each school that only go to students.
Great idea, but
that'll never happen.
But then your daydream ended, and we came back to reality, and all the rich dudes get the tickets. Let's go to Alvin in Atlanta.
Get the girls, too, I heard.
Yeah, man. Hey, Alvin. They do get the girls. Hey, Alvin, so what's going on here, man? We're talking Bama. We're talking Georgia. We're talking why they lost. Where do they go from here? What's up, Alvin?
Okay, let's live it up. Georgia played basically a home game. Everything was set up for them to win. And a high side is 2020. But see, the thing is this, Bama been there, done that. And Bama team is just too deep, as usual. And Nick Saban said, okay, I'm going to bring my freshman out to trump your freshman. It was freshman to freshman that won the game. And that's another thing, that the game is set up for big money. College sports generate just as much more money than pro football. The players should get paid. And Georgia played a great game, but Alabama played a greater game.
They did. And you're making a great point, Alvin, about the freshman against freshman. But as I've done throughout this show, you got to take it a step further. Nick Saban and his coaching staff had 1,000% confidence in their freshmen. Kirby Smart and Jim Chaney did not have 1,000% confidence in their freshman. You have Jake Fromm swashbuckling. He throws an 80-yard dime touchdown to Mecole Hardman. 80 yards, mm-hmm. Right down the sideline.
Right.
One of the best throws of the year.
Sure was.
And then from that point on, you have 23 plays, 15 runs, and 8 passes. Come on, man. Keep putting them up to bat. Give me a break. Jim, the blood on the field of Mercedes-Benz Stadium last night is at the feet of Jim Chaney, in my opinion.
I got it at the feet of a lot of different people, and it's defense, it's offense, it's everything. I know where you're going with that, Rick, and I kind of knew when we got here. I said, Rick's going to be on Chaney, and rightly so. There's a lot of people that are on him. I thought he actually called a really good game. My problem was with personnel that was on the field. And I don't know if that's him that puts the groupings out there, if it's a coordinator. How in the hell Sony Michel, who's come back to school, is not on the field in the fourth quarter? How in the hell does he only get five touches when you just talked about 15 runs, eight passes? I would have thrown four of those balls to Sony.
They made the decision to live or die with Nick Chubb. They did. He's the guy, injured, comeback,
but they
emotional
even had
story.
Swift in the last drive.
But they doubled down on Nick Chubb, and it backfired on him. And I love Nick Chubb, okay? But that loyalty was part of the reason they lost that game. And, John, up to the 80-yard touchdown to Mecole Hardman, Jim Chaney calling a great game.
Yeah.
And then he went, boo, and shut it down, and it killed the Dogs.
We'll ask this question during the college football cheat sheet, and you guys can chime in on our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, 404-741-0929. Which loss hurt worse, the Super Bowl or the national title game? Why us? Like, really, just why us? Why do we have to deal with this? We'll talk about it next.
Rick and John have the latest news from college football and want to hear from you. 404-741-0929. This is the College Football Cheat Sheet on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's just a blessing to be able to play for University of Georgia. So many great people we've met through the past 4 years, and great teammates like Sony and great coaching styles, you know, Coach Rick, Coach Smart, you know, those guys. Just a blessing to play for great coaches and meet amazing new people, man. Something that I know we'll never forget.
Nick Chubb, it was a blessing to have you, you know, play for the Dogs and cover you all these years. And what a comeback from that devastating knee injury, man. And now he's going to go on to the NFL. And I hope he gets a shot. It's not going to happen right away, okay? Mm-hmm. He's going to have to get to a team and maybe have an injury and work his way up the depth chart. But I hope he gets a shot to be a bell cow guy in the NFL. Because if somebody drafts him and thinks that he's going to be a change of pace guy, no. Nick Chubb is a 20 to 25 carry per game guy. So I don't know if that role exists for him in the NFL, John.
Right.
But I hope that he gets a shot to prove he's a bell cow guy in the NFL. Michelle, from the jump, is going to be getting busy in the National Football League. He's a change of pace guy and a third down back. And I think that's why he may be a little ahead of the game in the NFL than Chubb.
I think he'll be an Alvin Kamara type when he gets to the league. He's going to be a matchup nightmare for somebody that goes ahead and drafts him. Hey, this hour of the Rick and John Show brought to you by the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. We'll get back to your calls on the game here in just a second, but the college football cheat sheet question of the day is pretty simple. And we'll put this up on our Twitter machine, at Rick and John 929. I believe that is the Vision Computers Twitter poll that we will put up there. Or not. It is the Twitter poll, but we'll put it up there. Which loss hurts more, the Falcons or the Dogs loss?
Preacher Man was like one of the people on the tarmac at the airport where the airplane's going into the wrong gate, mm-hmm. and you got the guys down there with the little cones or whatever, just going, no, it's that way, you idiot. That's what Paul Bible was just doing.
Well, here's a little behind the scenes in radio for those that want to know. January.
Our production meetings suck? Is that what you're talking about?
Well, yeah, there's that. All meetings in radio basically suck.
You have to be here at work on time, not puking on yourself. We might have talked about this earlier.
Wow. Thanks. You know what? If I would actually had time to sleep instead of having to come in here all the time, I'd be feeling better.
I'm the Georgia fan, and he's more salty than I am today.
I don't know who's saltier, me or Paul.
Well, you've got the bubble guts going on over there.
I got more than that.
He's just normal. What are you talking about?
This is just a Tuesday for Paul Bible. Well, speaking of it being January.
Is today Tuesday?
It is Tuesday.
I don't know why I thought it was Monday.
And you never really know what's going on. I can tell you this, what's going on. It's a sponsored again. Cheat Sheet is now officially sponsored once again by our good friends at R.S. Andrews Precision AC Tune-Up. Get you one. It's another way they make you smile at rsandrews.com.
You know, if Paul wouldn't have been worried about my stomach issues, he would have had that on the rundown, and we would have already known that.
Touche.
Got it.
Guess I'll put that back on the rundown.
There you go.
As Ryan Cameron would say when Dennis Schroeder scores, got him.
All right, so which loss was more heartbreaking, the Super Bowl or last night?
All right, let me take a swing on this. There is no doubt about the fact that the Super Bowl loss, it still stings mm-hmm. to this day. John, it's like it was a big gaping hole of a scar on, and then as time goes, you know, it scabs over and it starts to heal. If I just went, the scab would come right off and it would be a big gaping hole again. Look, you and I don't claim the Dogs, bro. We're invested in the Dogs. Mm-hmm. We're professionally invested in this football team. We are time invested, conversation invested, the whole thing. So for that reason, I was hard cheering. And in the Oklahoma game as well, and in the Auburn SEC championship game, hard cheering for the Dogs as if they were my team. But, John, they're not my team, okay? The Falcons are my team. Mm-hmm. Going back in the day, 1998, NFC championship game, Falcons-Vikings. I was all about purple back then. I was living in Minneapolis at the time, born and raised. That was a devastating loss. Still can't believe that the Vikings lost that football game at 15-1, blah, blah, blah. So the Falcons loss definitely stings more. But we're not damn good dogs.
Right. Yeah, and I'm right there with you. Obviously, 10 years of professional, emotional, travel, time, equity, getting to know players, being on the field, being on the planes, on the buses, in the locker rooms. The Falcons hurt more to me, and I don't know that it'll ever top that. I mean, on the field in the Super Bowl, knowing that you're this close to winning a championship and me being a part of that championship, knowing the guys that from the front office all the way down and having a conversation and a relationship with all those people, I'm with you on Georgia. People know where my allegiances lie when it comes to college football. I don't hide them. I don't try to, you know, do anything. I picked Georgia to win yesterday. I was wrong. Thought Georgia would win 20-13. When Bama got the field goal to make it 20-13, I said, man, I'm going to sound like a genius if this game ends at 20-13. It did.
Too much time.
There was.
Too much time.
There was way too much time. So I have to turn this question over to Mark Owens. You're a native Atlantan, born and raised on the mean streets of Smyrna. You're like Shane McMahon. The mean streets of Greenwich, Connecticut.
Oh, what, Smyrna Market Village?
Yeah, I mean, it's rough life over there. Which one hurt more?
Oh, hands down, last night. I'm more invested into the Georgia Bulldogs. Being a season ticket holder, you know that my blood bleeds red and black. So last night was it was tough. The Falcons was tough because, yes, that's my hometown NFL team, but I'm not a season ticket holder. You know, I spend Sundays on the couch recovering from Saturdays in Athens. So I'm all in with the Falcons, but for Georgia, there's just a little bit more for me. And so last night, going into the third quarter when they switched up the quarterbacks, and you go, huh, there goes the momentum swing. And
there went the game, bro.
Could get ugly. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk about it later, but I probably paced a hole in the carpet. I did the laundry, did the dishes, went through the mail, did everything but watch that game last night. I was so nervous.
Super quick, before we go to the phone lines, Preacher Man, were you butthurt about the Falcons' loss? Were you butthurt about the Dogs' loss? Compare the two.
Well, considering neither one of my team just working here, I consider myself to have a vested interest in both. Obviously, I wanted the Falcons to win the Super Bowl. I can't stand the Patriots. They've killed the Titans for years in the AFC. I despise them to the moon and back, and we're going to get killed on Sunday. Regardless, and I did want the Dogs to win. I mean, 37 years is a long drought for any school. I mean, you get that far, you've proven you deserve to be there. I wanted them to get to the top of the mountain and feel what it's like to be a champion. So I was definitely pulling for them last night.
I heard for the friends that I have here, and I've said that many times, and I'll continue to say it. I feel bad for those guys. Grant looks like, you know, somebody told him he can't cover baseball this year. Mark looks like, you know, I was going to take a shot at this. I'm not going to do it, Mark. They made it look like you have to go get laser surgery on the G tattoo. We'll go there. That'll be the nicest one I could say.
Bro, I'm not hating on Tua, but look at him. He's being interviewed live on ESPN right now. Look at how young he is.
They're 18.
Dude, he looks 14. I'm not ripping the guy. He's fantastic, but he looks 14 years old, John, and he just won the national championship game.
A couple of guys texting in. One says, Georgia hurts more because the window is more narrow with more competition. Somebody said, they both hurt the same. Lived in Atlanta, my life, Falcon, a dog fan. The scab was just ripped open again last night, to use Rick's analogy, and I feel like I'm in hell.
Sorry, y'all.
JB said, I'm not a diehard Georgia fan, so hands down, the Falcons. Another guy said, just straight heartbroken, so heartbroken, I almost couldn't turn it into 92.9 this morning. Well, we're glad you came over, and hopefully we can, again, put you on our shoulders. Take a call. Kerry's in Norcross, wants to sound off on the game. Kerry, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I wish y'all would do me a favor, though. Anybody that calls in fussing about referees costing the game, I wish you'd just hang up on. It is terrible to listen to. It's just a bunch of babies whining. And I'm a big college football fan, thought that was an awesome game. Great game to watch, loved it, but I think y'all hit all the points when y'all said Kirby Smart made mistakes, Jim Saney made mistakes, Jake Fromm made some mistakes, he's a freshman. He made mistakes, he'll be better next year. The health of the Georgia program is in a place it hadn't been in many, many, many years.
Here's the unfortunate thing, though, Kerry, and thank you for the call. Jake Fromm did not get an opportunity to be clutch in the fourth quarter. He did not get an opportunity to go toe-to-toe with Tua Tagovailoa. That's very unfortunate. It's sad. John, he didn't get an opportunity.
Right.
He was neutered like a cat.
Well, a guy who's not neutered, his team is still playing. It'll be playing this week against the Philadelphia Eagles. Dan Quinn, he sat down with John and Hugh this morning. Talk to Brandon. It's our guy. Got to let him call. Take his call, and then you'll hear from Dan Quinn next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.